I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. It seems like every day when you look at the headlines, there's one about fresh violence in Iraq. There are reports of bombings in markets, cafes, pilgrimage sites, in almost every kind of location you could imagine. Today was no exception. At least 14 people died in 5 separate attacks. One targeted a graveyard where families had gathered to bury their dead. Thousands of Iraqis have died this year in the latest wave of violence. The BBC's Shaima Khalil is in Baghdad. She's there to report on what life is like for Iraqis more than a decade since the U.S. invasion.
The first thing that I did when I arrived in Baghdad is I went to a market. I said I just want to see what life is like, what people do on an afternoon when they want to go shopping. And I was taken to a very busy market in a Shia district. And I was told that this market, despite it looking very, very busy, I mean, on the surface, it looked busy. It was bustling. People were buying and selling and haggling over prices. It looked like, you know, a market like anywhere else in the Middle East. But really, the story behind that market is extremely sad. It was hit at least twice this year. One time, two young men who were working on one of the vegetable stalls were killed, and I met their father and actually found out that he'd lost a third son back in 2007 in the same market at the same stall, also by a car bombing.
I mean, few things are more sad than a parent losing a child. This man you met has lost 3, all sons, and in his place of business where they work for him. How has that haunted him?
Oh, it's haunted him in many ways. I mean, I think one of the things that will stay with me from this trip is something that he told me. He said, you know, these young boys were my life, and it's been months now since anyone called me dad. They used to call him dad or Haji, and he says they died in July, and he says it's been months now since I heard the word dad or Haji, and I think this is just the simplest thing for a father, and he misses it greatly because it's a symbol of what he's lost, really.
You point out in your report that you had people coming up to you in the market to tell their stories. I mean, it sounds like you didn't have to draw them out too much. Why are they so determined to talk about what's happening to them?
I think it's because they feel that the world has forgotten about Iraq. I mean, for a while, Iraq was under the spotlight of the world's politics, the world's media, and the world's attention. And because of all the other conflicts that are happening now, especially Syria, but also conflicts elsewhere in the Middle East, you know, the upsurge in violence in Egypt, for instance, some people feel that Iraq has been forgotten. And also, especially with the withdrawal of troops, some here tell me no one cares about us anymore, especially after the Americans have gone. And they feel that nothing has gotten any better. In fact, things have gotten a lot worse in terms of security, and no one is paying attention. I was walking down with Abu Ali, the old man who lost 3 sons, and I had people coming up to me saying, oh, I lost my cousin. Oh, I lost my 2 brothers. My sister's husband has died 2 weeks ago in a suicide car bombing.
I mean, it's interesting. You spoke with a young couple as well who has just gotten married. They told you that their families are half Sunni and half Shia. What did they tell you about
exactly
the sectarian divide in Iraq?
Shahid is the young wife. She's half Sunni, half Shia. Her late father is Sunni and her mother is Shia. And she told me growing up in Iraq, she had no idea that she was mixed sect. She had no idea she was Sunni, half Shia, because it never really came up. It was a homogenous family. Sect was never really an issue. And the brutal reality check really came in 2003. Her father was killed because he was a Sunni going to a Sunni mosque in a Shia area. She said, it was when I realized why my father was killed, I realized the extent of the problem in the country and how problematic my identity is. She also spoke about having 5 ID cards when she goes out, ID cards that hide her name because she didn't want to be found out as Sunni or Shia. So she'd have an ID card with a Sunni name for a Sunni checkpoint and a Shia name for a Shia checkpoint, which I thought was absolutely fascinating.
Wow. Did she or did the man, the father in the market, did any of them talk to you about the role the United States played in where they're at today?
Well, it's interesting. I asked Shahid whether she thought things were better or worse for Iraq now that the American troops have withdrawn, and she said definitely worse. She said that the presence of the American troops almost had a balancing effect on politics and on security, because she said that they were in control of the Shia and the Sunni politicians. And when they were gone, it was almost as if the guardian was gone.
Who did the Iraqis see as responsible for the violence?
I think many things. I think the number one factor they tell me are the politicians. They said it's because of the politicians that we are in the position we are in right now. If we had politicians that realized that it was only through unity and not sectarianism that this country would move forward, Iraq would have been different. Many people also mentioned Syria because Syria has become this, this proxy war where everyone goes to fight. I mean, I spoke to a Shia fighter, an Iraqi Shia fighter, who went to Syria, and he said he had no problem killing other Iraqis if he felt they were affiliated to Al-Qaeda. And it's this idea that a conflict in another country has this devastating effect on a neighboring country like Iraq, and all of it is based on sectarian violence.
The BBC's Shaima Khalil in Baghdad. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Marco.